The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that once again mines the depths of Hollywood's creativity by taking a rejected Maverick script, tying it to another old TV show, grabbing some failed ideas from a Superman movie that never happened, and then grabbing two guys that just made a hit movie and throwing them at it.
You know, original. The PG-13 movie that featured Salma Hayek's bare ass, Will Smith's cock and balls, not even joking, and the most scandalous of all the things, Kenneth Branagh's ridiculous facial hair.
My word! The movie with Salma Hayek at the absolute peak of her sexual powers. And when it came time to seduce the enemy, they go to Will Smith in a dress.
This is Wild Wild West on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And we are talking about the giant, mega, smash failure bomb.
1999.
Very end of the decade. We just talked about 1991. We're jumping 8 years later.
We're also like, there's a lot of connections to this.
There's a lot of connections. We're talking about Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West. The last, not the last two movies, but the movie before that, we talked about Will Smith already.
Right. Enemy of the State.
We're talking Will Smith in this one.
Mm-hmm.
In the last movie we did, which was Adam's Family, same director.
Barry Levinson's directing. This is also based on an old TV show.
Just like Adam's Family.
Just like Adam's Family.
Yeah. Still running that 90s wave.
Of what do we vaguely remember from our childhood? Let's make that again.
Yeah. Wild Wild West is a weird one. It ran like 4 years.
Uh-huh.
It was two white dudes that were solving crimes in the West, possibly, with costumes.
Yeah, from what we can gather from our limited, having seen two half episodes.
Yeah, yeah. We saw two half of episodes of the original show.
The original show. It seems to be a show about, yeah, one super handsome white guy and another just guy.
One handsome shirtless guy, yeah, and another guy.
Solving crimes in sets that were left over from other TV shows.
Definitely, from Bonanza, which was the biggest right. show at the time. Yeah, there were leftover Bonanza sets.
Because it's the late 60s, there's mandatory, like Batman-style, big punch fight scenes.
Yes.
And weird dressed henchmen.
Yes. Also, I was expecting a lot of gadgets, but when we were watching the original shit, a lot of costumes.
Yeah, more costumes than gadgets, for sure.
But they were very good costumes.
Yes. No, actually, good makeup work.
Yeah, the guy that plays Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good makeup work. He would just show up and be a costume guy.
Yeah.
And Jim West would just be a debonair guy that's getting it in.
Yeah.
And punching dudes in the face.
Our favorite thing about this, and we'll talk about the movie, I swear, but my favorite thing about this is the opening, which is a really cool animated opening. And it features him smoking, first of all, because he's cool and it's the 60s.
Yeah, because you're a hero. You're a role model at the time. You got to smoke.
Well, if he's not smoking, he's probably catching some kind of disease or something, right? It's keeping like the, I don't know, roach smoke out or whatever that diseases people were dying from in 1951.
If you didn't smoke back then, you were a bit of a pansy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bit of a pansy. And people would be like, I don't trust that guy.
I can't hang out with that guy.
Doesn't even smoke.
So, and then he catches one guy, punches him, right?
Yeah.
Then another guy tries to cheat him. He catches him. Then another guy tries to shoot him and he shoots him.
Yeah, he shoots him, yeah.
Then he sees a lady, just kisses that lady.
Yeah, grabs that lady and kisses her because that's what you would do back then when it struck your fancy.
She goes to stab him.
So he punches her square in the fucking face.
Yeah, knocks her the fuck out and then walks away like a fucking pimp.
Yep.
That animated opening ends with him punching a girl in the face.
Yeah. No joke.
And then leaving. Yeah. This, I guess, what the 60s were like in non-television.
Yeah.
But it also, you're right. It was like they took the biggest shows at the time. And it was like Mission Impossible, Bonanza.
Little Batman.
A little bit of Batman. Some 007 in there for the movie stuff. And like, we're just going to make it one thing.
Right.
And it's not weird enough, like, while, like, there's not robots in it or anything like that, but it's still, like, two attractive guys.
Yeah.
punching dudes in the face.
And ladies sometimes.
And ladies sometimes, yeah, exactly.
And immediately, like, one of the first episode we put on immediately has, like, a evil femme fatale lady.
Yeah.
Dressed like a mermaid.
Like a mermaid lady, yeah.
Before we leave the topic of the show, it is funny to me that the show, you were going through, like, the most popular shows in the 60s.
Yeah.
It was nowhere near the most popular.
No, like, it wasn't even in the top 30.
It's
yeah.
Not even the top 30 show. That being said, more people watch that show than Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just how TV
works. That's how TV worked. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's all you had.
Yeah.
It's true to your point that they took Maverick and then they were like, what's another show that we can make a fucking movie
out of? Yeah, because so I mean this is a real thing in the trivia if you read about it. They had originally had this the rights to Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
Got Mel Gibson, got Richard Donner. They were like, "No, we're not going to do it anymore." Ended up going off and making Maverick.
Yeah, which is 100 times better than this movie.
It's so much better than Maverick is a kick-ass movie, first of all.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And then, but then they were like, "No, let's do this one, but you know, Big Spider."
Which famously, if you haven't already, you got to listen to the Kevin Smith telling the story about how he was attached to write the screenplay for Superman.
Yeah, and he wrote a Big Spider in it.
Well, he had to write a Big Spider in because the producer, John Peterson, really wanted... He saw a documentary about spiders.
Yeah, and he wanted a Big Spider.
He got his Big Spider.
And then they were like, "Nah, let's move it over to the fucking Big Spider to this show." It's crazy. It's also, we were talking about it while watching this movie. This is clearly a movie where half of the creative team were toy designers.
Right.
People that were making toys for fucking McDonald's. Yep. And they were like,
"This is going to be a huge hit. Men in Black. Do we just have Men in Black?
We just had Men in Black. It's
same Will
hit.
Smith, Barry Sonnenfeld.
We're doing the same thing. We're doing an older white guy with Will Smith.
Yep.
In a fantasy setting.
Yeah. This is a year after Rush Hour.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We can't lose.
We cannot lose.
We're running a fucking money train. We cannot
He's doing
derail.
A song. He's a huge recording artist at this point. Yep. He's doing a hit song for it. I think the song was a hit, right?
Yeah, this song was a hit. For sure. The Weeky Weeky Wild Wild West. Yeah. And maybe not as good as, you know, Black Suit's Coming.
Right, right.
Definitely not as good as Nod Your Head.
Yeah, Nod Your Head's good stuff. Slightly better than his song for After Earth.
Yeah. Slightly. Slightly. Just slightly better
just
than
slightly
his After Earth song.
His After Earth song. You know, the one where he's like, "My leg is broken. Please give money to my son."
I got a weird, weird.
You got a little country in that one.
Yeah, yeah. I got a weird accent. It's supposed to be future, but it's just annoying.
Just annoying.
Yeah. It's really a fucking swing and a miss on this fucking movie.
It is.
All
and
around.
It's kind of sad because rewatching this movie, it's not as bad as I remember
like,
it being.
On paper,
yeah,
pretty
on paper,
good.
On paper, it's quite good. You have a very good director, like, you know, coming off of Men in Black, coming off of Get Shorty, which is a movie I love.
The effects were
both
like
Adams
correct
families.
For this time.
Yeah, the effects for this time are actually really,
really
good.
Really good. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You don't need to go crazy far with the effects. You just have like a lot of green screen stuff and a lot of like superimposing shit. And it's actually all pretty good.
Great cast.
Yeah.
Kevin Kline, one fucking great actor. Will Smith at the height of his Will Smithness.
Salma Hayek at the height of her Salma Hayekness.
Yeah, Salma Hayek. And then, you know, Kenneth Branagh, who's great at hamming it up as a villain.
Yeah, he fucking hams it up. Yeah. He will chew any scenery you put him in.
Throw in like four super hot henchwomen.
Yeah.
And a couple of great character actors to play random villains and stuff.
And you're like,
what's to go wrong?
Solid.
Yeah.
A lot went wrong.
A lot went wrong somehow.
This movie is in the list because it made $113,804,000.
That sounds like a lot of money, Francisco.
It does sound like a lot of money. Do you know how much money this movie cost?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's 1999, so maybe like $50 million?
$170 million.
What?
It cost 67 more, sorry, 57 more millions of dollars than it made domestically. Now, internationally, it made like $220 million, but you gotta add like all the costs.
Plus, you don't get all the money from the box office.
No, you don't.
Definitely don't get all the money from the foreign box office.
No, yeah, like the governments take a lot of that shit.
Like China, you only get like 25% of that shit.
Exactly, which is a lot of money, but still.
But still.
This is known, it's like one of those Waterworld scenarios where it's known to be a giant flop because it was
because
so,
it's
expensive.
So expensive. Exactly.
And there was no way it was going to make that much money. And you're right, it's on paper, it's not that bad.
Yeah, and even watching the first bit of it, I'm like, you know what, this is not bad, but the ending is so rough.
Ugh. All right, well, so let's talk about the plot of this. So it starts off with Will Smith is Jim West.
Jim West.
He's the Wild Wild West of the movie.
That was the last name they gave the character. I mean, I guess that's the TV show's fault, but still.
He's No, it starts off with it starts with a guy running and his head gets cut off.
That's true.
What it is.
Technically,
which
it
is
starts
actually,
off with a guy running and his
it's
head
actually
cut
a pretty solid start. I forgot that scene was in the beginning, and I forgot that the head scene is in this movie. And up until after the head scene, when the head scene happened, I was like, this is pretty rad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really enjoying this level of fantasy. Like, to commit... let's talk about this. So, it's a guy running, mm-hmm. and he's got this weird collar thing in his head. And then this giant saw comes and clearly cuts off his head. And then the fucking henchman dude comes up.
Right. Ted Levine.
Yeah, Ted Levine comes
who you
up.
You probably know from such movies as Heat, yeah. Silence of the Lambs, Shutter Island.
He was
like
in Monk.
He's been in... He wasn't Monk. You're right. He's the captain, right?
Yeah, he's a Captain Monk. Yeah.
He's been in 86 projects. No, I'm sorry, 104.
What I like about Monk is that he did Monk 7 years after Silence of the Lambs, and he looks 42 years older. to a point where I didn't think it was him. Like, somebody told me, and I was like, get the fuck out. That's not true. And then I heard his voice, and I was like, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, in 7 years, he aged like 42 years. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But Ted Levine has got a great voice. He's in it. He cuts off that guy's head. It's a solid start, I think. Also, the collars are weird and unnecessary. Are the saws attracted to the collars?
Yes, they're magnets.
But they're just magnets for anything, though. Not just the saws.
Theoretically.
Or are the saws specifically set to those collars?
I think the saws, because when you see them later, they track
They're chasing
them.
Specifically
yeah.
them.
I mean, it doesn't make much sense scientifically.
It makes no sense. Yeah. Also, they don't have a gap in there for the saw to cut, make a clean cut, which right. is what I thought was going to happen. It's like the reason you have the collar is because it makes like a gap in there for your neck to be completely exposed, and it cuts your head clean off. And no, they have like all these magnets around yeah. it. Yeah. So I feel like the saw is kind of unnecessary. Like the collars are kind
also,
of necessary.
Also,
you could have made like a small collar.
You could have just killed them.
Yeah, you could have just killed them, yeah. But again, the toy designers were like, no, we need some toys.
Right. Well, and they needed to set up the ridiculous scene later.
Yeah. We have a lot of disc shooting toys at the Ninja Turtles and stuff like that we've made already. We can just reuse those.
Exactly. We already have the models. The plastic molds are ready to go.
We're shooting discs.
And in fact,
right.
now that you mention it, the one that actually shoots it basically looks like a Ninja Turtle shooting thing.
It definitely looks like it. It's like a weird dick gun looking like pulse gun thing that just shoots them.
Yep.
It definitely looks like you could put Michelangelo on the edge of that thing you're fine. Yeah. So then we see that scene, which is kind of cool. And then Will Smith is making out with a hot lady in a bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
And then while
in a water tower.
In a water tower, yeah. He's making out with a hot lady.
Polluting the city's water supply with his cum.
Yeah, he's gonna fuck in that water.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and then
they have to drink that.
Children are gonna drink that afterwards. Exactly. Fucking, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
And also, he's like a officer.
Yeah.
He's like a US man
Marshal
working for the government.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like a U.S. Marshal. So it's shitty, even shittier of her. But to be fair, he's with a very sexy lady.
Very sexy lady. Garcella. Oh, I started that name before I looked at the last name. The last name is hard to pronounce.
Yeah. Garcella Merlatter. Here we are now.
Bovias?
Bovias.
But you've also seen her in Spider-Man Homecoming, right?
Yeah.
She was in, she's been in several things.
She's been in several things, yeah. But she's very, very young, sexy. Very sexy in this.
Flight. She's in Flight.
Yeah, she's in Flight. That's right. He's looking out the hole in there because work is happening. People are showing up. They're unloading a fucking wagon. And he's paying attention to that. And then they knock the water tower over. Mm-hmm. And then he slides on the water.
Sounds like a fun stunt for the whole family.
Yeah. Exactly. For the whole family. Until we see cock and balls.
Cock and balls.
No
square
joke.
Square in the fucking front of the frame.
Yeah. Two times.
Yep.
He slides down. Cock and balls as he's sliding down.
Yep.
He stands up, cock and balls. Now, I don't know if you saw like Django where he's upside down and his cock and balls are out, clearly. And I remember when I saw Django and I was like, oh, like I kind of said it out loud. I was like, his cock and balls are out. Like we can see that. In this movie, I don't remember. Like, it's clearly his fucking dick and his balls are out.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's silhouetted. And
it's
then
a PG-13 movie for children. I saw this movie as a teenager with my, like, I don't know, 13-year-old brother.
Yeah. And it was fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't really. We didn't like it that much, but...
Yeah, obviously. You were like, what the fuck is going on? Was this giant spider and Kenneth Branagh? So, I'm 14. What do I care about a William Shakespeare actor? a half a William Shakespeare rolling around, yeah. But yeah, no, we legit see Will Smith's cock and balls.
Yeah.
Twice.
Twice.
In a row.
Kind of insane.
Insane, yeah. PG-13. Also, we should talk about this.
Also, it's Will Smith, and he's, at this point, maybe the arguably the biggest movie star in the world.
In the world, yeah. This is like Independence Day. Yeah. And like, well, obviously, we already talked about...
I'm surprised he was just like, yeah, no, I'll just do the stunt naked, cocking balls out.
I'll show some cocking balls, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have had like a... I mean, in the first shot when he's rolling down, that could have been like a Merkin.
Yeah.
Where they just like put underwear on him to look like pubic hair and stuff
maybe.
Like that.
Maybe.
But that standing up shot...
That
his
like
cocking balls are like backlit. yeah, like you can see the outline and you can see like the backlit cocking balls. There's no passing that off.
Yeah.
It's there. It should be noted that they made an observation online, at least, which is all factual, obviously.
Obviously.
But that probably the success of the movie has a lot to... like. It owes a lot to the R-rated movies that were around the time, which was American Pie was in the theaters,
yeah,
and South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut was in the theaters.
Great movie.
And if you were 15 years old, you couldn't get into those movies.
That's right.
But you could buy a ticket for Wild Wild West and sneak into those movies.
It still makes me angry that I saw this movie in the theater and not South Park.
And not South Park, yeah.
No, that's a really good movie.
Yeah, it's a great fucking movie. Yeah. But it makes sense that probably I would, you know, you got to speculate that probably like 20% of the fucking gross for this movie.
Something like that. Yeah.
Was all fucking American Pie and South Park.
That's how we used to have to. Well, I suppose that's still how people have to do it. And, well,
yeah.
I suppose the underage kids now just download it.
Yeah.
Probably.
Just go to Pornhub.
Yeah.
Just go to Pornhub.
They don't even watch the movie. They just go to Pornhub.
I do hope that we get to a point where we are so exposed to pornography that they're like, no, I want like kids, like 14-year-old kids are like, I want cinema.
Yeah.
Like, like they're like, what about this sex comedy? It's like, I go to Pornhub for my sex, man.
Yeah,
like
I
want
that.
Character development.
We're already at that point to some extent.
Yeah.
I feel that's a big reason why there's no sex in modern movies, really.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that that's the thinking is like, well, no one's going to be drawn to the movie for sex.
Yeah, because it used to be that was one of your draws.
Yeah, obviously.
You have like one crazy sex scene.
Yeah.
And that was your
draw. We've talked about it before, but you know, the Halle Berry getting paid $1 million to show her tits in one scene.
Yeah, 500,000 per
tit. That was the thing where like, oh, I guess I'm going to see that movie then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Halle Berry has her tits out.
Yeah, there's tits out in that movie. And now everybody's like, nobody's going to pay for that.
No.
So yeah, that's fair. That's fair. There are, it is lacking in the sexual... Like the nudity.
But I think, unfortunately, instead of turning to cinema, kids have turned to like 10-second TikTok videos of dancing.
Of sexy bitches.
Or whatever the fuck, yeah.
Yeah. Sexy chicks. No, I don't want to be mean, but, you know, there's a lot of body positivity, which is cool. Also, I do jerk off to a lot of them.
So after this big action scene, Will Smith punches a bunch of guys, and then he goes after... this general that he's been, we find out later he's been trailing him for 4 years.
But somebody's beat him to it.
Yeah, they beat him to, and that general, of course, is Ted Levine.
Awesome Ted Levine, awesome voice Ted Levine. Look him up.
Awesome name, Bloodbath McGrath.
Bloodbath McGrath. One, Kevin Kline in drag.
Uh-huh. Now, does that, I'm sure the makeup guy in this made him look like a...
Like a lady,
like a lady,
right?
Right?
Yeah, you would think that. No, he's just a guy in drag, and he's so obviously a guy in drag.
Oh, yeah.
That I think it's not necessarily like a testament, like, oh, how funny it is that Kevin Kline drag. It's more like, ladies were ugly back then.
Well, when you go down...
Like, prostitutes were ugly.
There's that scene where Ted Levine's walking down the row of prostitutes, and they're all pretty rough.
Yeah.
And then there's Selma Hayek, who's like the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah, yeah. And they put her in a cage for
eventually,
no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than Kenneth Branagh's kind of a creep.
Yes.
Like, he just...
Well, and he's also... He has a lot of weird... There's a lot of weird... We'll talk about it. Branagh's whole sex thing in this movie is very odd.
It's weird and it's unnecessary.
Way
unnecessary. It's like, it's got some weird old school backwards way of thinking. It's like, first of all, I mean, I know that a guy in drag is funny.
Yeah.
But it does it twice.
It does it like four times.
Yeah, well, you don't have to do it that way.
Although, actually, in fairness, so it does it the first time with Kevin Kline, which is fine.
Not bad.
And then when the reversal of it in the next party scene, pretty good.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, that's pretty good.
So,
but that's all you needed. Yeah. This scene, and you pointed this out, the scene where Will Smith is in drag is so fucking ridiculous.
It's so weird.
And like, so stupid.
I get why. The reason they put it in there, I'm thinking, they think to themselves, okay, we've got to show that Jim West is now willing to work with Artemis and use his
like what he does. Yeah, exactly.
They'll learn from each other, right?
Yeah.
But the idea that in the middle of this secret fucking meeting, just a black lady dressed like a belly dancer would come in and sexy dance.
And then Kenneth Branagh's like, ooh, what's going on?
He's like, I'm announcing, you know, my huge plans with all of my business partners. And I've got, you know, delegates from France and England and Spain. But I'm going to lap dance over here. Let me get this on.
There's a lot going on in this scene. There's a lot going on in this scene, and we can jump ahead because none of the story fucking matters.
It doesn't, but we probably should.
We'll get back to it, but Kenneth Branagh is a half guy who is going to take over the United States, but only the shittier, most empty parts of the United States.
You pointed this out. So, I mean, yeah. First of all, we love all the U.S., and they're all the U.S. I mean, if you can control like a huge chunk of the United States, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
But it is weird that he gives... So. Because at first I thought, I was like, oh, okay, so he's giving the like Arizona and California
Texas,
to Spain, right?
Yeah.
And then he's giving the Louisiana Purchase back to France, and he's giving like the 13 colonies back to England. Then he's keeping the rest. So I was like, well, you know, you got Portland, you got Seattle, you know, Washington, you got, you know, Idaho, potato country, nope. All that. No, he like no coast.
No, he's like from the California coast to Idaho. He's taking that.
Yeah.
So it's like Montana and like Utah and Nevada.
The Dakotas. Yeah.
The Dakotas. He's taking the least populated areas.
Right.
And he's very proud of it. And his flag is a Confederate mixed with a spider.
Just a spider. Just a big yeah. fucking spider.
He's just a guy obsessed with spiders. And he was just really like, I'm going to take over the U.S.
Obsessed with spiders.
Yeah. All this Trump 2020, what if Trump's flag was a big scorpion?
Yeah.
And they're just running like a big scorpion. I would be like, clearly, you know, you're a supervillain, right? Like, you're not playing it off. Like, you're clearly a supervillain. And that's... His thing is a big spider, and people are like, oh, yes, quiet, yes, a big spider, yeah, sure.
That makes
big spider
sense.
With stars, yeah, sure. It's such a ridiculous scene. Oh, my God. All right, so go back to the plot. They're trying to catch this guy, Bloodmack McGrath. Kevin Kline is dressed in drag. Will Smith stumbles upon them. They finally kind of meet each other, mm-hmm. and then
they fight a little bit.
McGrath
gets away. He pulls off the wig. I'm a U.S. Marshal.
Yeah. And then he ends up going to the White House. And one of the best things in the original show, which is that he had really cool costumes.
The costumes, yeah.
And one of the best things in this one is Kevin Kline plays Ulysses S. Grant himself.
And himself. And a bunch of, you know, like, characters.
And he plays himself as Ulysses S. Grant.
Right.
In one scene, which is pretty cool.
In two scenes, yeah.
Yeah, which is cool. He like pretends to be him.
Yeah.
And he's still playing him, yeah. Other than that, though, that's all the costume stuff you get. That and the being ladies.
That and the lady stuff, yeah.
And the reversal that you're talking about.
Well, no, the French fur trader, yeah.
Yeah. They have to stop Bloodmouth McGrath. They don't know that Loveless is like the bigger villain at this
point. Right, not yet.
So they get sent off, and then they go to this party, and this is where... He thinks he sees Kevin Kline, but he's a French guy.
Right. So he walks up to this redheaded girl that's dressed in the same dress that Kevin Kline was wearing in the brothel.
Yeah.
Has a similar, like, she's a tall lady, very busty. Yeah. And he ends up...
tells him something like he's not what he thinks he is or...
Yeah, oh, you're in for a big surprise when you get this one in the
set. Yeah, that's right. And then Kevin Kline is like, oh, he thinks I'm you.
Yeah.
And that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And then the payoff to that later, too, is he walks up and he bangs her on the boobs.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you got your boobs fixed. And then he bangs her on the boobs.
Yeah, and then...
I think Kevin Kline... It's actually a pretty funny scene.
Kevin Kline is
like, hang him. And then they immediately take him outside to hang him.
Right, because it's actually like a Confederate party.
Yeah, it's a Confederate party. Yeah. The black guy, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and this is also where we meet Bai Ling.
Yeah, Bai Ling is in this movie.
Had a moment.
Yeah, she for a minute, she was the Asian girl with the big boobs.
Yeah.
And that's it. Kind of like that's what she was doing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what she does in this. And I really expected her to go all the way to the end, and she didn't.
No. She bounces out pretty quick, which is surprising because his other sexy henchwomen stick around to the end.
Yeah. It was weird that Branagh had all sexy henchwomen.
I don't know that it was weird.
Very cool on paper, but he's so creepy about it that I was like, oh, weirdly unnecessary. I don't know. Also, there's no good payoff. Salma Hayek never fights those chicks.
That's true.
Kenneth Branagh pirouettes around them.
That's right. And Jim West never punches one.
Yeah, exactly. So they're just there to be sexy for Kenneth Branagh? It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, they're there to be sexy for the audience, too.
Yeah. It's a little creepy, though.
Fair enough.
He's going to get hanged. Meanwhile, Kenneth Branagh sneaks into I'm not sorry, Kenneth Branagh. Kevin Kline sneaks into Kenneth Branagh's room.
That's where you meet Salma Hayek. And that's where you meet Salma Hayek
in a Big Bird cage, and he lets her out. They get on the carriage and they run off. And it's there's this a weird convoluted thing where he's going to get hanged. He grabs onto the noose. The noose springs up and he's like, "What's wrong with this noose?" And then he lands in the carriage. And then Kevin Kline is like, "I made that noose specifically to be able to escape." And I was like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" did he make it super bouncy?
Yeah, so that it's like a bungee cord.
Yeah, but he can't hang from that? Because I feel like, does he just land on the ground?
He could have hung himself. He just landed on the ground, yeah, because it's stretched out, so he just landed on the ground.
All right. It's weird, though. It's weird. It was weird.
Well, you need it later for the ridiculous scene with the train.
None of it pays off. Yeah. None of that.
I mean, that in fairness, too, this is another scene that's not terrible, because you do have Will Smith trying to improv his way to being friends with all of the Confederate guys.
Yeah.
It's Will Smith being charming. It's not bad. It's fine.
He's like a movie star. You know, when I said redneck, I was like, what's better than red? It's fire. It's passion.
Yeah, yeah.
And a neck, I can't really think of anything for neck, but you know, red. It's kind of funny.
It's funny. And I like the cutaways to the crowd kind of reacting. They're like, yeah, maybe he's got a point. Black guy's okay.
And then he asks that lady to marry him.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah.
But then they end up getting their own train.
This is where you meet M. Emmett Walsh.
M. Emmett Walsh is a fucking man.
Right.
Look him up. He's great. He's a lot
in a role that I feel like, according to the trivia, they had offered the original Jim West the role of the president, but I feel like he was M. Emmett Walsh.
He was probably M. Emmett Walsh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he did not take it because he hated the script so much.
Yes.
And every actor and everybody involved in this movie
is
ashamed of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of ruins Barry Levinson.
It kind of does. Yeah.
He goes on. I mean, he still makes Men in Black 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Which, they're successful.
Three's pretty good.
Three's all right.
Yeah, three's pretty good. Three's pretty good. No.
Two was definitely successful.
Two's bad, yeah. Successful, but bad.
But yeah, that was kind of it for Levinson. Like, you look at his IMDb in the 90s. Obviously, we talked about it a little bit last week, but huge cinematographer in the 80s. Very good. Very talented lighter. Then he becomes this very solid, celebrated hit director, makes The Addams Family, makes, you know, The Men in Blacks, all this. But kind of nothing after this.
Yeah, because what else does he have?
He's got The Men in Blacks. He has like a few TV shows that he worked on. He did the 2001 Tick.
Yeah, and also Barry Sonnenfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did I say? Levinson?
Levinson, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's right. But yeah, you're right, though. Like, he does those and he's kind of like, Like, this movie at the end of the night is kind of like took him out.
Yeah.
And he has a good eye for shit. And good comedic timing, but also, I still reiterate, probably a lot was the toy department coming up with shit.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a movie that had a lot of reshoots. This had...
Yeah, because they had to add more comedy to it.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, famously, I mean, John Peters is a pretty hands-on producer.
Mm-hmm.
Likes a lot of changes, likes a lot of things his way.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Hard to say, but it makes me sad because, yeah, his career never quite recovered.
Yeah. And the movie, again, it starts off pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get to this point, then they're on the train. There's a weird thing where Will Smith is trying to keep Salma Hayek out of the train. And I was like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the hottest person on the planet.
Right.
In 1999.
And in 1999, she's the hottest person on the planet. In 1899, whatever the fuck this is supposed to be, she's 10 times hotter than anyone on the planet.
By far the hottest person on the planet. And Will Smith's like, nope, no, ladies. And Kevin Kline's like, I'm kind of trying to get it in.
We've already seen the other choices in the Old West. They are not great.
They're all Kevin Kline and drag.
Yeah.
All of them are just Kevin Kline, ladies, and drag.
I mean, in fairness, Jim West, you know, maybe he's used to hot chicks because we see in the first scene.
Yeah, he's with that hot chick. But hotter than Salma Hayek? Come on.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah. So he's trying to keep her out, but then she gets on the train. But then she like kisses him and stuff.
Right.
And then Kevin Kline gets super jealous. He's like, no. And I was like, one of you guys should bang her.
Yes.
Like, there's no way one of you guys is not at least trying to have sex with her. And then creating some drama in there.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? But we get the awesome scene of her half bare ass.
Half ass, yeah.
PG-13 movie. And I do remember masturbating to the scene.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's very good. Yeah.
It's better than I had ever seen at the time. So
it was perfect. Up there, yeah.
I was a big Salma Hayek fan. But then they're on this train, and this is actually kind of like the coolest part, I think. Like, they're riding on this train, They're trying to catch this guy. They drive under this bridge, and that bridge gets legs, and it like walks after them, and then gets on the track, and then follows them and stuff. It's actually kind of cool. Like, it's like that Hell on Wheels thing or whatever, where you're just like riding a fucking train through hell, and then there's another guy coming up behind you on his train.
And then we forgot to mention, so Kenneth Branagh kills Bloodbath McGrath. He kills all the Confederates because he's doing his own thing.
Yeah, he's doing his own thing. That's what we
Which is a weird thing. You'd still think he would want like an army of dudes, but whatever. It's just to show off his cool tank and his like steampunk bullshit.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
So steampunk, can we talk about that for a second?
Yes.
Because I always think that steampunk's pretty cool, right? But yeah. Steampunk has never been cool. Like, has there ever been a movie or TV show that has done steampunk that has been in any way good?
I think Steam Boy, right? That animated movie?
That's not even steampunk, though. That's like...
Is that steampunk?
It's
like an alternate reality where steam... Yeah,
you're right. Actually, there's been some good animes.
The anime stuff, I think, is the best.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been any live-action steampunk stuff that's been really good.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think all of it's been bad. And even the shit that's just kind of like fantasy western... has all been
it's
pretty
bad. Yeah.
Well, you got like Jonah Hex, and you got Cowboys versus Aliens.
Oh, God, Jonah Hex was such a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. Even like Lone Ranger and so, and not fantasy, but like action.
Like
Western
being
stuff.
Very, I don't know. What would you call it? Like Lone Ranger? I mean, Lone Ranger was trying for that action serial thing, but.
Yeah. But like that upbeat action.
But yeah, if
stuff.
You get too far away from reality.
Yeah,
without going like super stylized, like spaghetti western.
We as a society decided we want gritty westerns.
Yeah,
we don't want like funny action westerns.
Although
anymore.
Blazing Saddles,
Blazing Saddles and Maverick.
And Maverick, yeah, Maverick, yeah. Super funny.
Yeah, very good. But I mean, like after Maverick, I think like late '90s to like now.
Think definitely the sci-fi element. Sci-fi element in the westerns. I mean, I shouldn't even say that though, because Firefly.
But Firefly is like it's taken the
different.
Western style into the,
right.
It's not set in the old West.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think if you do like the fucking robot West one.
Westworld.
Westworld. Yeah. Like Westworld is the best sci-fi Western you can get. I think.
Probably.
And as you got Yul Brynner, and you know, fucking, it's like not even the real West. It's just you're pretending to be in the old West.
Right.
And there's just a cowboy that's unstoppable.
Yeah, and I think the payoff to that, if that was a movie about an actual robot in the West, you'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
But because it's this whole
fake world, yeah, exactly.
And it changes things, the whole amusement part aspect of it. And
I don't know if they've ever gotten the sci-fi Western thing right. Yeah. Maybe the old school Star Trek episodes when they just end up in a Western planet, or they go back in time to the old West.
Maybe.
Just funny. I mean, it was just funny because, like, Data has a cowboy hat.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's still got his weird eye visor.
He's still yellow.
Hat. Yeah,
that's still kind of just funny. Yeah, but it's a genre that I cannot take off.
Every time I see it at, like, a convention or something, I was like, oh, that's cool, steampunk. It's cool. Everyone likes that, right? And then I'm like, do I, though?
Yeah, exactly.
Because... kind of sucks every time they've tried it.
Yeah, like other than watching this, then looking at this girl with this bustier thing,
right, exactly.
With her tits out, that's pretty nice. Like, what? Other than that, though, like, what am I super into from this thing, from this genre? But this movie runs with it, and
boy, does it! Yeah. So, because Kenneth Branagh, and the interesting thing about the weird thing about it is Kenneth Branagh is not even the scientist.
No,
he's kidnapping the scientists and making them build stuff.
Yeah. And he's half of a Kenneth Branagh.
Yes.
All you get is half.
That's all you get.
But Kenneth Branagh, as usual, he hams it up. He makes the worst American accent he's ever made. He said that himself. It's the worst American accent he's ever made. He's like a big fucking Louisiana character. I don't even know what he is.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But he's half a guy with a wheelchair and like a steam-powered wheelchair.
Yeah, right? Which then becomes a spider wheelchair.
Well, then becomes a spider wheelchair eventually, which is like all pretty cool. And it's all toys, is what that is.
Oh, it's definitely toys, yeah.
I do want to do a shout-out. I was talking to my friend, you know, Ford.
Yeah, yeah.
And his friend David. And they had a thing about if you took the old X-Men animated cartoon, but for Gambit,
you gave him like a backwater Louisiana accent.
You have like the water boy accent.
Yeah. Like we were just trying to call that, and it's pretty fucking great. Yeah. We just want to know what's happening. And the X-Men are just like, all right, yeah, we're still like attacking. He's just like one accent away from being like a swamp person.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
It is pretty good.
Oh man,
yeah. Because they gave Gambit the most like luxurious of the fucking Louisiana accents.
That's true.
But all the other accents are actually pretty rough.
Wow.
Yeah, they just gave him the word mon ami to say out loud all the time. Yeah.
Oh man, now I want to see that redub.
Yeah, I want to see that fucking crazy swamp Creole accent.
Everyone else is still the same.
Yeah,
you still got like Cyclops, very dry.
Yep. Obviously, like the Wolverine. Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
I made him a convertible.
Yeah, like thing. That. Yeah. And then he's just like, "We were grinding." And you can't understand what he's saying.
Come back to Rogues. Like, Sherry, I can't be with you. It's too... Like, yeah. What?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, man.
Yep. It's a good bit.
That is very funny.
But that's what Kenneth Branagh reminded me of this. He's like way... like bringing a caricature accent into this thing.
He's hamming hard.
And they give him like a ridiculous fucking facial hair.
His facial hair. Jesus. It's so ridiculous. Yeah.
It is actually, it's pretty funny when you look at the character itself. It's like half a man, crazy facial hair, ridiculous caricature accent that does not exist in real life.
Right.
And then he's no also got like all female jokes. Henchmen. No real jokes. No, he's very serious about everything.
Yeah. You feel like if you're going that hard into character, you would give him more some jokes. Funny stuff.
Yeah. You should probably get some jokes in there. Yeah. No, he doesn't get one joke in that. So then, you know, he's chasing after them in the train.
Right.
This is when Will Smith jumps down, gets on the bungee cord thing. It's a wasted fucking sequence. Bad.
It's a bad scene. It looks bad. The way he flips up is so fake and ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's such a classic, like they blow so many opportunities to just do classic Western stuff.
Yeah,
because they try
Western stuff.
Which I get what they're thinking. They're like, well, we don't want to do the same stunts you've seen before. We want to put a little flair on it. We're doing this whole steampunk thing.
Yeah.
But it just never worked.
No, and it never works out. It feels like very forced, and the effects are really bad. So he gets on this little trail thing that goes under the... It's like Kenneth Branagh made this thing in the pool table that turns around and drops you under the train.
Right.
But it still has wheels, so you can still ride the rail. And he rides the rail back to the cart behind him, and instead of just grabbing on, he bungees back and forth, which is fucking stupid. Finally grabs on, flips over, which is fucking stupid. Like you said, it looks bad. And then he's on his train, and it's a wasted action sequence that's completely unnecessary. But then Salma Hayek fucks everything up by hitting the sleeping button.
Yeah, for no real reason. Yeah. She just freaks out and decides to hit it.
Hit the sleeping button, yeah. And then they all pass out.
And then they just wake up with the collars on.
Yeah, the cutting off your head collars.
And this is the scene where Kenneth Branagh gets really weird and sexual.
Yeah.
And has a lot of like weird lines that are just, ugh.
Yeah, it was really weird. Yeah, first he's got no tools to get out of it. Yeah. So then, and then we see that they're shooting the Ninja Turtle discs at them,
right?
With big spiders on them, as a toy would have.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's exactly a McDonald's toy.
It's 100% a McDonald's.
Yeah,
toy.
It's a fucking disc with a spider on it.
Yep.
And they're running around this cornfield, and the disc. I have no idea how the discs work, but there's no way that they're just attracted
because
to the magnets.
Magnets.
Yeah, there's no way they're attracted to the magnets.
Magnets,
yeah. Because they like flip around like boomerangs. They like go past them and then come back. So they're tracking them somehow. But that's not how magnets work. Also, at any point, they could drop down to the ground and the disc would go over them. But then they come back. So then anyway, they end up on two sides of a cannon. And you look down and it's very far. It's like half a mile down.
Yeah.
So Will Smith's plan is to jump to their death. Right? Because he's like, jump to my arms. And he's like, what? And then they're like, jump to my arms. So they jump. They meet halfway. They fall down. The two discs crash
explode.
Into each other. They explode, even though they're two metal discs. And they somehow have explosion things in them. And then they fall to their deaths. Or, you know, in this case.
In the mud, yeah.
What was his plan?
Fall
to their deaths.
Yeah.
No, his plan was like, let's kill ourselves.
It's the other guy's thing.
Yeah. We're invincible.
We're invincible.
Yeah. We just jump into this thing and land on the soft clay. We'll be fine. I mean, and then also missed opportunity that you talked about. No quicksand.
And then, well, because at first I thought they landed in quicksand.
It looks
like
it.
Just the cuts, and they're fine. It was just
they're
mud,
not even
I guess.
Dirty no more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Quicksand, as we've talked about.
And then there's the totally unnecessary. Yeah, was a thing that we thought we would have to face every day.
I was thinking about the other day. Everybody talks about quicksand. We've talked about piranhas before. Last week, we talked about the Bermuda Triangle.
Right.
There's one of the things that I forgot about. Rabies.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I was going to be dealing with rabies all the fucking time.
All the time, yeah.
Like, all wild animals had rabies. And you know what? Every now and then, a lady would get rabies, and then a town would have rabies.
Yep.
Like, that's what I thought would happen to me when I was a kid. Yeah, exactly.
No, that makes sense.
Like, I thought it was like the Trinidad Motabo virus from fucking Outbreak, where you just, like, spread it like wildfire. Yeah. But no, it turns out just squirrels have rabies sometimes.
You know, another thing that I thought as a kid I would have, I'd have dreams about it. I thought it would happen so often is just showing up in a place with your underwear and nothing else.
Yeah,
and that's never happened to
you
me.
You never dreamt that?
I've never had that happen.
No.
I've never just showed up to a place with my underwear and no other clothes on.
Yeah. That is a weird dream. I think it's one of those like made up dreams that just became a cliche.
No, I think it's a dream that people have. Like, I've had the dream.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's never happened to me in real life.
Yeah, in real life when you just show up, yeah.
Because why in the hell would you ever show up in a place?
In your underwear. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Unless it's a hilarious...
hilarious prank?
A hilarious prank, yeah. Exactly.
I know what I'm doing next podcast recording.
Hilarious underwear prank. Or a fucking Uncut Gems situation where just guys take off your clothes and put you in the back of your car. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a funny way to get your money. Yeah.
We're going to put you in your car. Naked.
With no clothes. We're taking your clothes off and putting you in your car. And not, guy, anyway, give me my money. All right. Okay. That sucks. Yeah. I mean, it's funny.
The crazy thing with a bookie, if they break your leg, you still owe them the money.
Yeah.
Does that seem right to you?
That's great. So, anyway, at this point, they've taken Selma Hayek. Now, this is when we get the Kenneth Bennett plan, where he's like, I'm changing the world. And He kidnaps the president.
In his giant spider.
In this giant spider.
Introduces the giant man
spider.
This
is the first spider. And it's actually really cool. That makes spiders pretty cool. I mean, when I first saw it, it was cool. And watching it now, I was like, yeah, that's still a pretty cool thing that they made up. Like, it's still like a big spider. Also, watching the original shows, there is nothing anywhere near this type of shit in that show.
At least that we saw. Now, again, we only saw two episodes, but...
I don't think that it ever got to a giant spider.
I don't think it ever got to a giant spider. Yeah. But it may have gotten more gadgety than we saw.
Maybe. But we saw zero gadgets.
We saw zero
gadgets.
We
saw one episode from the first season and half an episode from the second season.
Yeah.
I mean, they ran for four seasons, so maybe the fourth season they got
super
gadgets.
It's just all gadgets. It's like, we need something. We're losing people. We need something.
We're like, well, what's big now? Get Smart. Oh, God, now we got to do like Get Smart level gadgets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, maybe.
That could be.
Yeah.
If you're a big fan of the show, write in blockwithnostalgia@gmail.com. Let us know.
Yeah. But I don't think ever to the level of giant mechanical spider.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
So this is a scene. This is a scene that we were talking about before, which is where Kenneth Branagh unveils his plan to all these old Confederate guys.
Well, they're not Confederate guys. They're old world. They're Europeans.
Yeah, they're old European guys.
They want America.
Yeah, that's right. Because he's like, the French are going to take this.
Right.
The England takes this.
Right.
Mexico still has this, and then I loveless land.
Right. Gets the rest.
The word, it's just cattle out there. It's bad. It's bad.
I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful, but there's nobody out there.
You get the fresh Rocky Mountain water.
Yeah,
you
that's
make
true.
Yourself some Coors
Maybe that's
beer.
All, that's all he wanted. Yeah, because there's no what big cities are there? Salt Lake City? Like what do you get? You get no big cities.
Vegas? Maybe
you
wanted to gamble.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this is pre-Vegas, but yeah, sure. But anyway, he's unveiling his plan. Everybody's on board. He threatens the president. He's like, you're nothing anymore. Like, I got you now. You're nothing. And then one Will Smith in drag comes out.
As a belly dancer.
And starts dancing. And he's like, this is what I'm talking about. And it's so fucking ridiculous. Like, why would he stop everything he's doing for just a belly dancer to show up? Why wouldn't he think that's suspicious in any way?
You know.
Will Smith is a sexy.
I mean, belly dancers, though.
Yeah. It's so fucking stupid.
It's really dumb.
It's really dumb. But Kenneth Branagh falls for it, and he's like, oh,
it's
yeah.
It's a little funny to me, too, that they give Will Smith, like, a huge fake ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's true.
But he's also very clearly Will Smith.
Yeah. No, it's not like a, he's like a sexy lady.
Yeah. No,
it's just
like 6'1" Will Smith.
Yeah, it's very much a dashing guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Kenneth Branagh's like, all right, this is what we needed in this big meeting about breaking up the U.S.
Right. I've got fucking generals from every military in Europe around. But yeah. Let me get this lap dance.
Yeah. Let me get this black lady lap dance. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about, guys. I mean, to be fair, he does. There is a lot of like jabs at him about not having a dick.
Right.
Which is very inappropriate and fucking sad.
It is. But yeah. Then it has all those weird responses about how he's going to build like a metal penis and shit. And you're like, wait, what?
In this fucking PG-13 movie. Like,
what are you talking about? You're talking about violating Selma Hayek with a metal
penis?
Steam-powered dick.
Which also... I mean, I'm into that movie.
I'm
yeah,
into
exactly.
That a lot, actually, now that I say it out loud.
Should have been a hard R-rated movie.
I think we already fixed this movie right there. Mm-hmm. But
with a fucking weird mechanical steampunk penis.
Yeah, I mean, it's a steampunk. Fuck, what do they call them? The Sibians.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's just a steampunk Sibian.
Yeah, yeah. They have this scene where Will Smith and him are talking to each other after this, and all Will Smith is doing is making like. For lack of a better word, not to be offensive, cripple jokes.
Yeah.
And all Kenneth Branagh is doing is black guy racist jokes.
Yep.
And I was like, you probably shouldn't play this anymore. Like, oof.
I mean,
it's a little rough.
I think it's fine.
It's fine. I mean, I wouldn't say cancel it or anything like that. But it's like, I was like, oof, this is rough. Like,
yeah,
it's rough.
It's a little rough.
It's rough to listen to, like, him making fun of the fact that he has no legs or dick, and then him making fun of the fact that he's black. Mm. It's a little rough. And
it's
almost
a little weird with the race stuff, just because
they almost say Negro at one point.
They do, but yeah. like they play the race thing a few times, but then other than that, they ignore it completely.
Right. So it's almost like we can't not play the race thing.
Yeah, we have to talk about the race thing, but also we don't want to talk about the race.
But we don't want to take the time to actually figure out the race thing.
Yeah.
So we're just gonna throw some stuff in there.
Right. Which I guess makes sense.
Let's have him call him boy right before he like kills him.
Instead of they should have just dropped the hard N.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Just Kenneth Branagh dropping that hard N, man.
Jesus.
That's what they should have done, man. Have some
oh,
balls.
Oh man, yeah.
Drop the hard N.
I'm really digging this R-rated Wild Wild West. Yeah, if Kenneth Branagh, he's hanging upside down and Will Smith is hanging out to him.
I mean,
just,
come on, boy. That's not, who
he
cares?
Just drops the N-word. Oh man. And then fucking Will Smith kills him.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
I like it.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. Is that even a hard R these days? They say that shit on TV.
I mean, it depends on who says it. I think if a white guy says it, it's a hard R.
It's a hard R, yeah.
If a black guy says it's just normal banter. Yeah. But the rest of the fight happens on this fucking spider. Selma Hayek wasted. Gone.
Selma Hayek's gone. Selma Hayek's not in the movie anymore.
She, after the gas thing, she's not in the movie at all.
No. After the gas thing, she shows up in two other scenes. One sitting in a chair for like 2 seconds while Will Smith does his dance. Well, yeah, next to Kevin Kline. And then
at the end.
At the very end, when it's like, oh, this is my husband, by the way. Bye.
Yeah. Wasted.
What?
Because there's a point where Kevin Kline has to fight the ladies.
Right.
And he pirouettes around them and they fall off of the spider in the stupidest way to fight these sexy ladies.
Yes.
When you had Salma Hayek who could have fought those ladies.
Right.
Or even Kevin Kline would have fought those ladies. Like, it would have been fine.
Yeah. I mean, again, the opening of the show.
He punches a lady in the face.
He punches a lady square in the face.
So, you know, you punch some ladies in the face.
Yeah. I mean, they're bad guys.
Yeah, exactly.
They're spider Nazis.
Yeah. That's obviously what they are. Yeah. Wasted Salma Hayek. Wasted action sequence with Kevin Kline and the ladies.
Yep.
But it just comes down to Will Smith killing fucking Kenneth Branagh. That's what it comes down to. Kenneth Branagh's. He's half a guy, but he grows legs and he's like stepping on him. And then Kevin Kline shoots one of the legs and he loses them. And then there's a scene that's fucked up because Kenneth Branagh is dragging himself because he's got no legs back to his wheelchair. And Will Smith is over him and he's just like, what up now, man? Like, what? How badass are you now? He's like kind of taunting him.
Right.
And it's a very sad thing to see Kenneth Branagh like dragging himself.
I don't. I think you're way overestimating the sadness of that scene.
It was.
Because he's clearly going for the Skeletor.
It is going for his Skeletor. Yeah,
he's clearly doing the whole like, oh, we can be friends. I'm sorry, I didn't do anything. But well, he's clearly going for a gun.
But it was a weird thing to see him drag himself and Will Smith. Like, just finish him off, Will Smith. Pick him up and toss him over the
Over the edge. Yeah.
You know, over the edge, and then you're fine. This
also does the thing that this movie does several times, where it ends with them both hanging off the spider, right?
Right.
And then Kenneth Branagh drops, and Will Smith grabs a rope or whatever. And he's hanging over the spider, and you're like, oh, how's Will Smith going to get out of this? Cut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. This movie has a lot of that
That. Even when they're lost in the desert, way away from any sort of way to catch up with them, and they're just like, cut.
That's right.
We have a plane now.
It was a thing where they're like, they get stuck, and the collars get stuck to each other, right. And they're like pushing each other off. And then
just so you can get that joke where Will Smith's face is kind of near
Kevin Kline's fucking
dick.
Cock. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was like, gay stuff. There's a lot of gay jokes in this. Actually, there's a whole scene with Emmett Walsh where he walks in on them
touching the boobs. Yeah. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Yeah. But Emmett Walsh is like, I knew it.
I knew it. I knew Kevin Kline.
Homos.
Yeah. He dresses too nice.
Yeah, exactly. But in this scene, they're like, they have the collars on, and then a thing pops up.
Yeah, and it's like a screwdriver.
Kevin Kline is like, oh, that's one of my tools. And then that's it.
Yep.
We cut ahead from that.
Yeah.
We never see how
they're at the bottom of this ravine. And then the next thing we see, they're flying on the fucking
thing. He's got a fucking machine.
Yeah.
He's got like an airplane.
Yeah.
Which he mentioned before, but also where did he get that airplane?
I guess he built it out of the scraps because they find the train because they're near the train. But again, they just cut around all this stuff.
Yeah. It took the fucking Wright brothers 82 years to build that one fucking plane.
That's right. He does it in a day because he saw a Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah. He saw a Leonardo DiCaprio picture.
Yeah.
It's called The Aviator.
He saw an old school Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
he saw The Aviator, Martin Scorsese's picture about him making a plane. And
he decided to make a plane based on that Martin Scorsese movie.
That's right.
In which Leonardo DiCaprio does not make any Leonardo da Vinci type planes. But, you know, Kevin Kline does that.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he builds like a Leonardo da Vinci
also,
plane.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not a Renaissance expert, but the Da Vinci...
Not by any means.
The Da Vinci picture is of a helicopter, not a plane.
Yeah, it's that weird spinny helicopter thing. Yeah, it's not even a plane. This is more
it's like a hang glider.
Like a hang glider
connected to a bike.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a hang glider connected to like a dune buggy.
It's something that you would see in a Miyazaki movie. Only it would look a lot cooler.
Yeah, Porco Rosso was riding magical. That shit.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking of Kiki's, but yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They're riding that shit. Yeah. There's like talking cats and shit. And
there'd be an adorable like 12-year-old girl learning how to be a woman and shit. You know?
An old lady,
an old lady that turns out to be nice.
Yeah. Stern old evil lady turns out to be nice. Yeah. But in this one, he just made that.
Respect your elders, kids.
Yeah, they go, and then they, I mean, this we've already talked about the fucking ending scene.
Oh, the other thing I want to mention though, so Will Smith ends up fighting all these dudes that are like, right? Like they're cyborg dudes.
Yeah, they're like cyborg dudes that are also just like blue collar workers and the gears.
Right.
Which sucks. They're just like maintaining the gears and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, well, but they're maintaining the gears, but they also have sword hands.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Which that part is kind of cool.
Kenneth Branagh gave him sword hands.
The one disappointing part of that is that, so he fights Sword Hand Guy, and he fights, I don't know, a couple other weird dudes with,
fake lake dude or whatever. Yeah.
But then he runs into this, like, Frankenstein motherfucker that has, like, a metal skull, and then you find he has a metal arm and a metal chest and metal balls.
Yeah.
And metal legs or whatever.
So he's, like, an indestructible type of guy.
He's, like, an indestructible guy, but the thing is, the dude's, like, 2 inches taller than Will Smith and probably 20 pounds lighter.
Yeah, yeah, he's a very skinny, tall dude.
Yeah.
And you could have hired a like you said, Undertaker.
Yeah.
Or Kane.
Get Undertaker.
Yeah, get one of those.
Get Goldberg.
Big Show.
Yeah,
like,
Big Show.
One
Fuck
of those
yeah.
big fucking dudes. Because this thing calls for, because they set it up where Will Smith is like, ooh, shit.
Yeah.
This is a big guy that I have to fight.
Yeah.
But he's not that big.
He's not that big at all.
No, he's not. And he just like throws him off of the side or something like that.
Yeah.
This is another wasted action sequence.
Yes. Because it's not very good. It's not edited very good. Maybe it's just, I don't know.
It's not edited very good.
Yeah. Will Smith, his fighting ability, I don't know.
There's also no good stuff to cut away to.
Yeah.
Like,
which, if they would have had Selma Hayek fighting a hot chick.
Exactly. At the same time.
Yeah.
Good stuff to cut away to. Other than that, it's just Kenneth Branagh riding a big spider.
Right.
Yeah. It's a wasted action sequence. That's one of the things about this movie. is that the action sequences are rough.
Not that great.
Yeah, yeah, they're not that great. But the effects are not bad.
The effects are all right. The action sequences are mediocre.
I mean, there's some points where it's like very clearly like green screen.
Yeah.
But but like the stop motion stuff is really good. The animated stuff, the CGI is really good. Yeah. You know, like Sonnenberg used it for his strength.
It's a weird movie going back and rewatching because it's not as bad as you remember it.
Yeah.
But it's also...
But it's not good.
It's not good, but it could have been, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, this is the movie that Will Smith passed on The Matrix for.
Yeah.
Which is a whole thing.
That's a whole thing. I mean, he's talked about it. And it's understandable. When you hear him talk about it, it's pretty understandable. Because when you first heard about it, I don't know. When I first heard about it, I was like, fucking Will Smith could have been Neo, and instead he made Wild West.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you fucking kidding me? How stupid. But... then you think about it and you're like, all right, these two weird nerd dudes show up in baseball caps and are like, yeah, you're in a computer and then there's dudes chasing you and then you kung fu fight. You're like, what? Yeah, well, because you're the chosen one and the cyberpunk stuff. You're like, what?
No, he's like, I want steampunk stuff.
Yeah. Well, and he's like, no, I'm not. No, you know what? I'm going to go with the guy that I just did Men in Black with. That movie made like $300 million.
Also, like, they're going to make a lot of McDonald's toys of me. And yeah. You got no McDonald's contract, sir.
No McDonald's contract. When it's R-rated? What?
You two brothers, future sisters, would have no McDonald's contracts anymore. Yeah. You got nothing. Yeah. I can see that. I can see that.
Why he would be like, I don't know.
And he never made that mistake again.
Yeah, definitely never made that mistake again.
He never passed on a giant, awesome role.
He never, like a big director came to him with an awesome role.
That written was specifically for him.
For him. Say like, I'm just going to pick a name out of the hat. Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. Let's say Quentin Tarantino showed up.
Showed up and was like, hey, I have this script. I'll just call it, I'll name it after an old movie that you probably never heard of. Django. We'll just say it's called Django.
Let's theoretically say that a Quentin Tarantino's type shows up with a Django type movie to Will Smith. And he's like, I wrote this part for you. Will Smith would never turn that down.
No.
Because he's already made the mistake with The Matrix.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to do that again.
No, not at all. And then why would he? It's not like M. Night Shyamalan showed up also offering something else.
It's not like it because Will Smith showed up at M. Night's house.
Yeah.
It's like, I have an idea for a movie to make my kid the biggest star in the world.
Famously.
Yeah.
Will Smith passed up on Django because he didn't think it was big enough for him.
Well, and also he wanted Jaden Smith to be in a movie, and I think he was also a little worried about the racial heat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even specifically the N-word stuff, but just the racial heat of playing a slave and all that stuff.
Yeah, and then it turned out to be one of the best fucking movies.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
It's one of the best Westerns we've had in the last 20 years.
Yeah?
I mean, if you can call it a Western. I guess he calls it a Western. Southern, but it's definitely like Western.
I'd call it a Western, yeah. I would say, yeah, it's definitely in the top five Westerns of the last 20 years.
Yeah, for sure. What do you got? Yeah. Last 20 years, you got that. You got 310 of Yuma.
310 of Yuma, Appaloosa.
I haven't seen Damsel, but I heard it's really good.
Oh, the one with Patterson?
The one with Patterson, yeah. I mean, there's some good, like, low-budget stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Bone Tomahawk I love.
Yeah, Bone Tomahawk. Really but yeah, good. For sure.
It's up there.
Django
though.
Is up in the top
and five. I like it better than Hateful Eight, so I put it above that.
Yeah, me too. Me too, for sure. Definitely top five Westerns of the last 20 years. Yeah, but he did it again.
Yeah.
Passing that shit for his kid. But, you know,
I mean, it's for his kid, I guess you can. Still.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
So, yeah, famously, he could have been Neo. And said now we get John Wick and shit. It's cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. We probably don't get John Wick without Neo.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves is an all-around amazing guy.
And he did point out that if he took the Neo part, Fishburne wouldn't have gotten Morpheus.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They were going to cast a white guy to play Morpheus.
Yeah, and you know how much we talk about Morpheus.
That's true. Everyone's talking about
and Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne Morpheus. Yeah. Remember how excited we were? When,
you know, that's all we talk about
nowadays.
He
offers him the red pill and the blue pill?
Yep. You know, that's the guy that you like to follow all the time.
That is definitely the guy from that first Matrix movie.
Yeah.
And definitely remember the second movie where he makes that speech to all those sweaty fucking hippies?
Yeah. Yeah. You remember that? You don't have to fucking do that with Fishburne, man.
Those movies,
you're fine.
Man. Yeah. Now they're doing a fourth one? Come on.
I know. One really good one, and then that's it.
Yeah. It's just like Star Wars. We're at a point where we have more bad ones than good ones, but...
Yep, we got there. But also, we're old,
we're
angry,
old angry men. Mm-hmm. So... What are you gonna do? Although, in fairness, I didn't like the Matrix sequels when they came out very much.
No, not at all. I hated part two and part three a lot. I actually didn't like the original one, but I was like, I'll give part two a chance.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it because the Matrix is coming up. Not for a while.
It's going to be like top 10.
It's a while away, but you're not a big Matrix guy.
I'm not a big
fan. I really like the first one.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to talk about that stuff. But yeah, it's, Will Smith should have done it.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know.
But, I mean, hindsight's 20/20. Again, I get it. If you have, you know, you're the guy that you just made a giant, giant fucking hit movie.
Yeah.
And also, Kenneth Branagh.
Again, this is like the
Kevin Kline and Selma Hayek.
Matrix did not have one white guy and one black guy being sassy and friends. Lawrence Fishburne is kind of like leading him into that shit. But then after that, he's
it's a white guy and a black guy mentor. It's a Bagger Vance situation.
Yeah. And then eventually it's just him and Hugh Weaving.
That's right.
So it's not like they're together. This one, they're riding that fucking wave of Rush Hour and even
Lethal Weapon
and all that stuff. They're riding that one white guy, one black guy thing.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Sassy black guy, uptight white guy, and the Men in Black, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
So they're still riding that wave, and they're like, this is never going to not be good.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's still not bad.
Yeah,
it's
still it always works.
Yeah, whether it's this or like one of you guys is a robot now, but he's also black.
Yeah. Or like a orc.
Yeah. In that fucking Will Smith movie, right?
Will Smith.
Yeah. It's like him and an orc are friends now and cops.
Yeah.
Or one Theodore Rex.
Or one's the dinosaur. you can't go wrong.
Which we've talked about many a times on this fucking podcast.
Theodore Rex.
Yeah. It was pretty hilarious.
I mean, if one of them was in this movie, if you recast it and it's Will Smith and a metal spider.
Oh, yeah. Or even if it's Will Smith and a metal half guy.
Yeah.
With, like, if you just switch
Kenneth Branagh and Kevin
Kline, right? And his partner is a half metal guy.
Actually, I love it.
Yeah, actually, I think that's pretty solid.
Actually, I think that's really solid.
Yeah.
Because then you make him the inventor, and that's why he has fucking metal legs.
Yeah, because he's an inventor.
He's a fucking inventor guy.
Yeah. And also, he has real obstacles to overcome.
That's right.
So eventually it's easy to pull him off of that thing and throw him aside and he's got no legs.
Right.
And then he has to like use his inventor stuff.
He has to invent shit to get around.
Exactly. Yeah.
God damn it.
That's way better.
That fixes like, it legitimately makes this movie like 10 times better.
It super fixes this movie. And then, you know, like the main bad guy is just a rich guy.
Yeah. He's just a rich asshole.
He's just a rich asshole who wants to take over the nation. Yeah. That's all he is. And that's all you need.
Yeah.
You don't need the half guy.
You didn't need the half guy. No. You make the half guy the hero.
Yeah, exactly.
Haven't we learned nothing from Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the halflings.
That's probably somehow offensive to somebody, I'm sure.
No, they're in New Zealand. They can't get offended. Fuck those guys. They're having concerts and shit. Fuck them.
Are they really? Well, that's right. They don't really have COVID.
They don't have COVID no more. Australia got rid of COVID. They're the same size as the U.S. Like, they got rid of COVID.
Yeah, well, but they don't have the population.
They don't have the population. They're just
they're mostly dingoes and kangaroos out there. There's like three people. It's like three people and mostly spiders. Kangaroos.
Yeah. And weird giant spiders.
And weird giant spiders, which would be perfect for this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And like fucking one Mad Max just driving across the desert.
Just shooting guys in the face.
Guys and not gasoline.
Yeah, and every now and then a guy with a fucking weird helicopter thing shows up with a kid.
And a snake.
And a snake, and that's all you need,
Couple hot blonde chicks, you're good.
Australia brought some good shit.
God, Australia. Shout out again. I was checking our numbers again. Australia, you're still coming through for us.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
We fucking appreciate it. We love you fucking crazy drunken bastards.
I wish I was there. I actually, like, this time last year, maybe the end of February, I wish I would have just been like, I'm going to go to Australia for 2 months.
Right.
And then I'm like, I can't go anywhere because of COVID.
I'm sorry.
And then
can't
I'm like,
back, boss.
I'm going to Black Keys concert. Yeah, like everything is back to normal over here. We got no COVID.
Yeah.
Damn it. I mean, we're still fighting giant mantises and shit, I think, right?
Oh, in Australia?
Yeah, weird monsters.
Every day, I'm sure.
Also, when I'm talking about last year, the continent was on fire, if I remember correctly.
That's true, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you would have been burnt to that.
I would have been burnt to ashes. I would have just taken a left turn somewhere with a big map, and I would have had like the weird glistening thing in my nose, that white glop
of sunscreen
and a big hat, and then I would have just been like, what's that smell? It smells like barbecue.
We cut 2 seconds later and you're just surrounded by fire.
No, I'm a skeleton. Yeah, I'm a charred skeleton, but the map is still full.
The map is still there.
The The map and the hat are still there.
Perfect.
But all my flesh is burnt off.
Burnt to a crisp. Why didn't they just make Francisco out of the map?
Yeah. He would have survived the whole thing. Because the map made it. Before the bit.
Before the bit, man. It's too funny. We're sorry for your very real tragedy, Australia.
Yeah, sorry, Australia. I know, we know you're listening. It's nice.
Yeah, no, it is nice. We love it. So we've already kind of done it, but do we want to fix this movie?
Yeah, it's you know what? It's funny because we've already said this a couple times, but the movie started off stronger than I remember it.
Yeah, the opening credit sequence is dope as hell. It's basically the old TV show but live action.
Yeah. It's really
and
cool.
With less punching ladies.
And like the setup is still pretty cool, and the fact that they're following this other guy that's not the main bad guy, and then you get a main bad guy and stuff. But by the end, it's some fucking mess.
Yeah, the last 45
minutes. It's a mess of a movie. And even like, what was Will Smith's plan is always falling to his death in this movie. Like it really is. He comes.
Well, it's funny too, because the ending when he's hanging there with fucking Brano,
yeah.
Brano's like, you don't have the guts to do it. And I was like, motherfucker, this guy's jumped to his death like eight times already.
He wants out. He wants out of this whole thing.
He saw his family died. He lived through slavery. He just wants to take it
home.
He's
like, I got nothing to live for, man. Yeah. Like, this is it for me. Well, it's like the Lethal Weapon thing where like Mel Gibson's just like, no, I've been wanting to kill myself for 10 years. Yeah. Like, what do you got? He's literally trying to kill himself. And he does that. And he's like, boy, and he just like unlatches him. And then he falls and then like grabs onto the chain. And I was like, what was his plan if the chain had not been there? Like,
fall to his death.
Yeah, falling to his death with Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's a better movie.
If he falls to his death with Kenneth Branagh?
If he's just like trying to kill himself the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's like Kevin Kline is trying to like convince him that life is worth living.
I mean, if it was Mel Gibson, right? If it was Mel Gibson like originally planned.
Yeah. Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
And then but that would make sense why he's not on board with Salma Hayek being on a train, because he doesn't even care about ladies.
No, he's
because he's like,
that.
I'm out. Yeah, yeah. I want to kill myself. And then Kevin Kline is like, no, but look at, you know, like beautiful woman and like life is worth living.
Do you think he's gay in this movie? Because he's has an opportunity to sleep with three extremely beautiful women.
And he kind of passes them off.
And he runs off as quickly as possible.
He really does. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Maybe. Maybe he's just like a James... Well, no, James Bond bangs a lot of ladies.
James Bond bangs.
Maybe.
Do we discover the secret subtext of this movie?
It could be.
Is it actually a LGBT fucking trend-setting genius film?
Probably the real answer is that it's not our place to say whether or not he's gay or not, but possibly he's gender fluid, sure.
I suppose it's fictional character Jim West's place to say gender and sexuality
I mean,
is.
In the original show, he wore that one skin-tight blue suit.
Yeah.
I get the feeling
he banged in that show.
Probably
though.
In that show, right?
It looked like just a little bit we saw.
We saw the beginning of two episodes, and they established sexy ladies in both of those episodes.
Yeah.
That eventually he's probably going to get in bed.
I feel like he was banging.
Yeah, he was probably banging.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's gay. I think he's just lost the will to live.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just suicidal.
I think he's just suicidal. He doesn't give a fuck about anything anymore.
That makes sense.
He's just like his job now, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just U.S. Marshal turned Secret Service.
Yeah. And if he had a wife, he would just beat her all the time. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, also the Secret Service, it's at the end, right? Where
they're
going to create
the
Secret Service.
Yeah.
Protect the president.
Which they were, judging from the show, they call them Secret Service members.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. I guess they were in the show.
They give Chewbacca a medal at the end. It's fine.
That's so goddamn stupid.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Fucking Star Wars.
So fucking pandering. Oh my God. So pandering.
Right. You know what? And the thing that like bums me out is the last Christmas got a pretty nice Star Wars t-shirt from a friend of mine. I was like, oh, that's a nice gift, right? It's cool, Star Wars, Millennium Falcon, and whatever.
Yeah.
But now every time I wear that shirt, people are like, oh, so Star Wars, so, you know, blah, and they want to talk to me about the new fucking Star Wars movies. And I'm like,
hey, yeah. No, bro.
No.
No, bro.
No. Now, I can't wear the shirt out in public because of the implications.
Yeah, the implications, exactly.
God damn it.
It would have just implies you're talking about the new Star Wars and stuff.
Like, no, I like three movies that were made 40 years ago, yeah. And that's it.
And I'm not like like just trying to destroy everything other than that.
Yeah, I don't care. But
those things can exist.
I just don't care about anything other than that.
It's just Rogue One is pretty good and The Mandalorian is pretty good.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's kind of it.
So, I mean, some of the books, if you like them, cool, yeah. Whatever. The cartoons, it's fine. Genndy Tartakovsky cartoons, cool.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I've started watching Samurai Jack again.
And it's...
And throw all that other bullshit aside. Samurai Jack is the best cartoon.
Yeah.
Best action cartoon almost ever. Right, it's like that and Batman. Oh, Primal's great.
And Primal, God.
Batman the Animated Series and Samurai Jack, best action cartoons.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
Ah, God, it's so good.
It's...
Yeah, I know.
The fact that that man has not been allowed to make, like, a real movie, like not
a Hotel Transylvania movie,
yeah. But like a real, like, all right, do your fucking giant action epic.
Yeah. Yeah, like do what the biggest thing you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he could, because he's the best fucking animated action director that we've had.
Yeah, definitely in America. Yeah. Not even close. I mean, there's some Japanese guys that are up there, obviously, but American, I don't think it's close.
No.
Yeah.
So, you know, throw all that shit out the window and just go watch.
And just go watch Samurai Jack. So the way we fix Wild Wild West is go buy. You can buy it on Amazon.
The
Blu-ray Samurai Jack complete 5-season collection.
I think it's on HBO Max.
Oh yeah, just subscribe to that.
Yeah. And then you
watch Primal too. Because Primal's fucking great.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there's something cool about this show that could have. Like I get what we said on paper is pretty good.
I guess if you go more, because the show seemed to be more about like tricking people with costumes.
Yes.
So if you go more like the first Mission Impossible where it was all like that person. Oh shit, they're that person.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think if you go that way, it's a little bit better. Again, we said if you switch it up and it's Will Smith and a Kenneth Branagh, half Kenneth Branagh, yeah,
that makes it a lot better.
It's pretty fucking good.
What if we go all the way to Men in Black or to Mission Impossible crazy costumes and we get to that situation toward the end, they're all wearing like triple masks. So like Will Smith takes his mask off and it's Kenneth Branagh, and then he takes his mask off and it's Kevin Kline.
I do love that shit. That one of them is Salma Hayek.
Yeah, and then Salma Hayek takes her mask off and now she's like 6'2" Kenneth or Kevin Kline.
Yeah, Kevin Kline. But then takes the mask off again and is Ulysses S. Grant. Yeah. Like that's actually pretty good.
There's one of the hot henchman chicks.
Yeah. Well, if you want to go like fucking funny with this movie, go full on funny
with
this
movie.
It's been
a long time since Blazing Saddles. We can have another Western comedy.
Yeah, we totally can.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be so ridiculous, and we talked about this kind of in the face-off episode, where if you're going to be so fucking ridiculous, go balls to the wall and just make it fucking ridiculous.
Absolutely. I mean, face-off does it well. Batman and Robin's another movie we talked about a few episodes back that has this same problem where it's like, we want to be a comedy, but...
We're still an action movie.
And we're a blockbuster. We got to appeal to everybody.
Yeah. And it's a fucking cartoon. But yeah, no, they should have done gun balls to the wall at the end. At the end, it should have been super hilariously confusing.
Yes.
Yeah. And then like the sexy ladies take off their masks and it should have been really funny.
Yeah.
This is around the time with like Aqua Teen Hunger Force and like Space Ghost and
just
stuff.
Just about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give it Give it like the Space Ghost type of funny fucking twist at the end.
Bring Dave Willis and the Space Ghost crew. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they would do that shit all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Take masks, do a lot of like running around and shit. Sure. And yeah. Yeah, if you make this an old school Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Reuse old footage of the TV show.
Yes.
Dubbed over by Will Smith, Kevin Kline, Kenneth Branagh.
Yes. So now we're talking about a What's Up Tiger Lily situation.
Yeah, or even Kung Pao to some
degree. Exactly. Where you're taking the old footage and then you just cut a new movie with voiceovers.
God,
that actually sounds really fucking good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it would be very funny. And it would also, you could still add the big mechanical spider because it's all wide shots with that mechanical spider.
Yeah.
Right.
And you just cut them out and put them on the mechanical spider. Who cares?
There's got to be a fucking scene in the old Wild West show where they're like inside of a tank or a big mechanical carriage or something like that. There's got to be something. So you can just cut the close-ups to that and then the wide shots of the spider.
Yep.
And then just make that fucking hodgepodge of a fucking Western movie with just voices.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on board with that.
I'm on board with that 100%.
Yeah. So I think we fixed this movie.
We fixed this movie.
this was it was a rough ending to a movie that started off better than I remember it. Sorry.
Yeah.
But you should watch it for Salma Hayek's bare ass.
Yeah.
Was not a McDonald's toy, but it should have been.
It should have been, yes.
I don't know why we just had disc shooting and big spider McDonald's toys where there was a bare-ass
Summer Hayek. Yeah. I mean, it's a half-ass. That's why it's... If it was full-ass, it's R.
Yeah.
Full-ass is R, half-ass.
But Will Smith cock and balls, though.
How did they get away with that? I mean, I guess it's just because it's going
by... It was VHS, and they're like, you can't tell what's going on.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fucking lines.
But it was a big screen movie.
Yeah. Watch it again. Go back and watch it again. You don't have to watch past the first 10 minutes.
It happens in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, it happens in the first 5 minutes, and you will see Will Smith's cock and balls.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah, it's insane. And I think we should all be talking about it all the time.
Just every day.
Yeah, every day, all day, every day.
Hey, did you see the news there? The Biden's doing some stuff, and Will Smith's cock and balls.
It was in Wild Wild West.
In the first 5 minutes of Wild Wild West, right in your fucking face.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a topical thing we should all be talking about. It's really in there. Yeah, that was a weird one. But, you know.
Did you hear about what's-her-name getting canceled from the Will Smith's balls right in your face? It's the whole thing. We haven't even talked about how excited I am to make Joe Biden jokes.
Oh, I know. We can make Joe Biden jokes.
We had like 5-6 years of making Trump jokes and only that.
Yeah.
We got just Biden jokes coming, people.
And Biden jokes are just...
I mean, they're just old man jokes.
Yeah, they're really just, it's just like the mule.
Yeah, it's just jokes about Clint Eastwood. Yeah.
It's just jokes about Clint Eastwood.
Just with Joe Biden instead, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's just.
It's the same Clint jokes, Eastwood actually, face. If you just jump back like 20 years and listen to jokes about Strom Thurmond.
Yeah.
It's just those jokes.
Yep. It really are those same jokes. It's just an old man losing.
Or Larry King jokes. We can just rerun the Larry King jokes.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Larry King, yeah. Yeah, like it's just old man jokes is what it is. He does. He takes a lot of breaths in between sentences. Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, it's just you do an impersonation of Joe Biden. You do an impersonation.
An old man.
It's just an old man. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But we get Joe Biden jokes and lady jokes. We get old man jokes and lady jokes for the next 4 years. Yeah. It's opening up a whole new ballgame for every comedian everywhere.
Be on board with that. I'm
so excited for. I don't even regardless of who you voted for. We get 4 years of new jokes.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that shit.
So excited.
What are we talking about next week?
Next week, we get a little romantic. We get a little wholesome.
Yeah.
We get Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
Yeah, let's bring in a sexy lady for this
You
one.
Got Mail.
Yeah, I remember the movie about AOL emails.
A thing that people definitely still have.
Yeah, you would get a disc. I don't have to go into this because many a podcast.
We'll talk about it, yeah.
But yeah, you would fall in love with over the email.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of now where you just fall in love over the,
Bumble? The Tinder?
Tinder was what I was thinking of. Or Instagram?
Yeah, over the Instagram
DM,
and over the
DM
Tinder.
Nonstop dick pics to every girl?
Yeah. And you're just gender fluid, so you're just banging whatever.
Yeah.
You don't want to have kids. Nobody wants to have kids anymore. And you got two girlfriends and a boyfriend. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's happening with these goddamn young people.
I'm okay. I'm okay with all of it, but still, I don't know what's going on.
Well, I'm okay with none of it, and I'm a grumpy old man. Yeah. This is the Grumpy Old Man podcast. I want
straight men and women, as God said in the Bible.
In the Bible. So, yeah, we'll talk about You Got Mail, a very wholesome movie about two straight people getting together.
Yeah, over the email. It's cool. It's fine.
It's fine. I've never seen it.
I don't think I've seen it either, actually. Yeah. So this is gonna be a first for both of us.
Yeah, fun.
It was not on my radar when I was like fucking 16 years old.
Yeah,
to watch either. Tom Hanks fall in love with fucking Meg Ryan.
Yeah,
over like, the email.
No, I got Tom Hanks like flying a fucking spaceship and fighting fucking Nazis and shit to watch.
Exactly.
I got plenty of Tom Hanks. I got Tom Hanks being funny and being a kid, being an old man.
Yeah. We already got Forrest Gump Tom Hanks with the best music in the fucking soundtrack for a long time. And like we already got enough Tom Hanks.
I got my Tom Hanks. He's about to be like a castaway.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have time for him falling fucking in love.
Wilson and all that shit. Yeah.
that's his true love.
That's all he needed. Wilson. Yeah, Wilson. Exactly. He just needs a volleyball to have sex with every now and then.
That's right. That's all relationships really are. Yeah. Just a volleyball to have sex with every now and then.
A volleyball to like face fuck whenever he's like really, really lonely.
By the way, about relationships, that's really all it is.
If I know anything about slumming it,
yeah,
it really what it is.
All you need is someone there for you to talk to when you're feeling down and occasionally face fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Occasionally face fuck and be cool with it. And clearly Wilson was cool with it. He was all about it.
Yeah, all about it.
Yeah, all the face paint and shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, You Got Mail. That's what we're talking about.
Coming
not
up,
face fucking volleyballs.
I mean, we'll see. We will talk about it. So until next week, thanks for being here. Big shout out to Wallace Book for our theme song. If you have any questions, or if you'd like to become a new sponsor now that RIP, People's Choice.
People's Choice, yeah.
If you want to become a new sponsor, hit us up, blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com. And also, of course, you know, subscribe, like, check the Patreon, all that shit. Until next week, I'm EG Sites.
I'm Francisco Landine.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.